Blog Talk Radio.
Helshbahur Adanat. True aware appreciation, the master's life is guided with inspiration. Opposition guides the life of the unaware. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bhavasita World Radio. I am your host, Denise O'Regan, and our beautiful sister Malou is away this week, but I am very honored and privileged and grateful to have an amazing, wonderful guest join us tonight. And I'm sure many of you already know her. She is a Bhavasita Grandmaster, a very long-time student of Almeen. And I know you open your hearts and welcome our beautiful sister, Christina Trevino. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Denise.
Welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time in your beautiful vicinity there in Mexico to join us tonight and share the blessings of Bhavasita.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And yes, it is a beautiful day here in sunny Mexico.
Thinking about it just makes my heart so happy. So before we came on the show tonight, Christina, I came across a recording, an interview that you had done with Almeen back in, was it 2012, maybe? You used to have a radio show? Did you have a radio show, Christina, on Blog Talk or Lightworkers Radio?
Yeah, I had Lightworker Radio. You know, I've lost track of time, which is a good thing, but when did I start that? I don't even remember when I started it, maybe in 2007 or 2008. I did have Almeen on the very first time back then, and then later on, which could have been maybe 2 years later, so it could have been 2010, and then I'm not sure how long that went on for, where she would come on periodically, or sometimes regularly, because when we used to meet at Simon's house there back in Toronto, and so she would join us when I was doing my radio show, which was on a weekly, I think it was weekly or bi-weekly. Yes, but I did. She was on the show many times.
It was wonderful, actually, listening to that, because, and you're right, it seems like when I, think 2012 or 2008, it seems like many lifetimes ago. But it was great listening to that show, because the questions that you were asking her and what you were discussing, even though, like, it seems such a long time ago, it also seems very relevant to, what's been happening right now. And she's talking about, moving into a time of growth through grace and support rather than opposition. which, you know, I feel like that's what we're living right now. What is your take on that?
I think that is something that we're always still living. It may not be a focus at the moment, but I think it's always there. And I think that a lot of things are always, I don't know, I just think a lot of things are always still relevant, at least that what I'll mean is speaking out or speaking about or, you know, bringing forth at the time. Of course, there's always going to be the new and more things become known from the unknown. But I think that that's always something that we are working on or striving to become or remembering that that's who we are. I think that's always there.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Christina, how long have you been with
Well,
I know forever, eternity, but
that's true. Actually, I wasn't even thinking that at the moment, but yes, because I knew what you meant. Well, I was introduced to her in her material, her first two books, by a friend back in Toronto in 96, I believe it was. And she had said that, you know, she was coming. It's only when she just started coming. She'd only been there once or twice, I think, at that point. And so she was going to be coming again, which was January of 97. So that was my first class. Was they were weekend workshops at that time, so I started with her in 96 and basically did several of them in the beginning. I went to Newport after that to do a retreat, which back then she was calling it the Women's Warrior Workshop, and she also did a Men's Warrior Workshop. I think that ended at that point, because then things started changing for her, and then she went into this sort of different type of workshops where they were more private, that you had to sign up for a few years. But I was always still there, always still present. So it's been a long time. And then, of course, when she made her debut online, which I was waiting for a long time, with the videos and then the radio shows we started. So it's been a long time. Actually, it's amazing because it doesn't feel that long, but it is a long time.
I know, it's almost 20 years.
Oh. I know, that blows me away, because I can remember the moment that I met her. I can remember when I read the book and I said, oh my gosh, this is what I've been waiting for, even though I didn't understand what that meant. And then when I sat there in the class and I heard her just speaking, and I said, again, this is who I've been waiting for, you know, in some way, this is who I've been waiting for, so...
And, you must have experienced many changes and miracles over, and just the way, like, seeing the changes in Omni's teachings over those many years. What were some of the highlights for you, would you say?
Well, I have to say the Women's Warrior Workshop back then, which I guess that would have been 2000. I think we went for that. That was an amazing experience. That was something, at least in this lifetime, that I can recall, the things that took place in that workshop. I mean, we had so many wonderful, amazing women there, sisters. It was very full. We all stayed in Almeen's house. At that time back then is when she was, I mean, if you know this, and some I know, some may not, you know, she would have all kinds of beings in the house. Now, I'm not saying that you could see them all, or as some people could, but I'm saying it was very active at that time in the house. And so we, a few of us actually, because there's probably 30-something women there, I can't remember. And so we kind of bunked on the floor in the living room, four or five of us. So we slept there on the floor. I can't say I slept very much, because I was sort of like waiting to see what would fly by or what would be present or what would anything, magical that would happen in the room. And I could see different lights and things like that, movement. But so that was pretty interesting. I don't know how much sleep I got. But I had some of my own personal amazing experiences during that time. We were also going through a major cleanse. That's when she started doing the body ecology with Donna Gates. And so that was a big shift, for our body to experience this. First of all, I had not eaten those type of foods. I had never been on that type of a cleanse. I'd never done the type of meditations that we used to gather every morning in Almeen's room and do. At that time, her bedroom was at 0 point, so you could feel the difference from the time, from outside the room to walking inside to her room. And there was amazing experiences that happened there. There was so much there that I don't even know if I could really explain it without going on and on and on. But I did have my own mystical sort of experience, if you want to say. It wasn't very pleasant at the beginning of it. I sort of passed out in pain during the morning meditation. And it was later discovered that I had been trapped by a warlock for my magic. I was on Almeen's, and we were having a goddess party that night. And so we were all getting all dressed up, and we were going to have dancing and singing and, be the goddess that we are kind of thing. But I went through this experience before that, and it had to take place before the goddess party. So I was with Almeen for several hours. I don't even know what she did. I was just sort of in an expanded state and just allowing and trusting what was taking place. And apparently she said it was pretty challenging. And then after that, when she was done, she's like, okay, sweetie, now let's get dressed up now and have get down to the goddess party. And I was just like, okay. And they dressed me up. They put my makeup, they put on this cape on me, this emerald cape, and a crown, some kind of little crown somebody had. And we just had a blast. I mean, it was so amazing. It was so mystical and magical. But before that, it was a whole different experience. So that's probably one of my most early memorable experiences there. And then so many other things happened during that whole week there.
I can imagine how magical it was.
I don't know. It was. It's really hard to pick certain things. I mean, years later, I was. Had the blessing to work with Almeen, spiritual journeys, to live in the house for a little while and to experience things, there. A lot of times I was very expanded, but I felt like I was at home and there was always just something different. And then sometimes it was just very quiet. It was just magical, it was just, that was a great blessing that I had in my life.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, for anybody who has had the joy of being on Almeen's home, it very is very magical, and it is. It's like coming home. But until you experience it, you can't really explain it to anybody.
It's true.
I had the experience where I was watching the Sava Hoops video, and I felt really sad because I missed the house.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, I was watching the video with Almeen and of course, did the Sava Hoops, and I was just like, oh, I missed the house. It's so gorgeous. But I know, Christina, that's just, you've done a wonderful job with your website. I have to say, I really love it.
Thank you.
All the, the products that you're offering, and it looks really great. And I have to say thank you for sharing the blessings and the miracles you have on the top, because, all the YouTube videos you put up, I guess, so helpful and practical for people people who don't maybe are not familiar with Baba Sadhana, or you know what a healing session looks like or what takes place. It's really wonderful what you've done.
Thank you, Denise.
It's, I have to say, I think it's great. I love it. Well done for that. But I wanted to ask you, what would you say, because I'm sure you have many miracles working with the angels and doing the Baba Sadhana. What would you say has been, in your mind, your greatest testimony of that?
You know, some of the miracles are so subtle that sometimes you don't see them right away, and then it's later on, you know, I'm just speaking for myself, but if you want to say with other people that I've worked with, I would have to say, let's take one. Trish, who I used to work with before when I was in California, and we used to have Pathways of the Infinite. And when I first introduced Baba Sadhana to her and the yogas and sort of all these amazing tools with her, I saw at that time, because she was going through some health challenges, so I saw how amazing not just doing sessions with her, but then her becoming initiated and her becoming a practitioner, seeing how quickly this changed her life. I mean, you'd have to talk to her to get much more details, but that to me was something that was so real and so tangible, and how you could see the profoundness of this modality. You know, and every person that I've worked with, it's different. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay, good. So every person it's been different with. Recently, I had an interesting experience with a good friend here who I've also initiated to Baba Sadhana, but she recently had an accident and broke her leg, and she was she's been bedridden for most of the time, but now she's up and around. So I had gone there for the first time, and I mean, this was a major double break in her leg. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to do a little bit of Baba Sadhana. I'm going to do a little bit of work here. and it's not really work, but, you know, and see what happens here. Because it's really up to the individual, you know, as to what they open up and are receptive to and allow to do their own inner healing. But let's see what happened. So it was, oh my gosh, I didn't even think it was a week, maybe 10 days, maybe the most. And she had to go back for x-rays to see how it was, because she was still going to have surgery. But one of the bones, I mean, this was a horrible, horrible break in her leg in two places. If you've seen the x-rays, it's just phenomenal. But one of the bones had already, you know, gone back into place and mended, you know, itself, aligned itself. Like, you couldn't actually really see the fracture anymore. And we thought that was pretty amazing, because the x-rays were just like, I just look at them and I'm like, wow. And I broke my leg when I was a kid. I had a multiple fracture as well, so I know it is. But just seeing this on the x-ray. And the other one, of course, because it was in too many places, they did have to go in. But her healing has just been so much faster, you know, her the whole process. But seeing that bone within that short time, you know, and she could sense the angels, she could sense, and sometimes she would hear and she'd say, da 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 da, I see da da da, there, that, you know, like she could see, she could feel everything happening in her leg. And that was amazing to see that in physicalness, because then you see it, like we saw the x-ray, you know, like 2 weeks later we saw the x-ray, and to see that bone was already back and looked like it had never been fractured. I thought that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is, wow.
Um, What else? What else? There's so many little things, you know, with people that you see that, you know, that are miracles, just how they can shift in perception and how they have become much more open and how they have their own experiences. You know, I have had some people have come back and said, you know, maybe on a physical level, like, oh, my back is amazing. It doesn't hurt anymore. Or, you know, I can breathe now, or I'm sleeping better, or, oh, I'm starting to hear angels. To me, those are all miracles. Anything that changes is a miracle. So it's hard to pin down one and to actually even remember all of the things over the years.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. Do you have a favorite protocol from the Love Path? Do you have a favorite one that you like to go back to as your
a favorite? What was that? A favorite protocol?
Yeah.
In what sense do you mean?
Like for the Belfast Baton, like do you, you know, if, for example, I absolutely love the Kamish Belfast Baton. I would say if I have to pick a favorite.
Well, yes. You know what? Thank you for reminding me about that, actually. because I would have to agree that I Kanish is my favorite Belle Spata, though should we say that? I don't know. But it is, and it might be. And maybe you were there, too. Were you there when it was brought in? It was in the Toronto class. Were you there?
It was in the, was not at that one.
You weren't at that class? Okay. Well.
No, but Almeen did give me the gift of the first two levels that had come out, like after the workshop ended.
Right.
I was supposed to be there, and it was just, you know, circumstances, it didn't happen. It was one of the few I missed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, that and another one that I was at, one of the other retreats, but that particular one, of course, was very profound for me because I was initiated, and it was also, I think, I'm trying to remember if I had my first two levels in the previous class, and then I had my master and grandmaster, yeah, I think so, in that retreat. And then as well, the Kanish came through. And that was, wow, I don't know if I have words for that, but that was magical. That was amazing to assist, to be there, to experience it. And then, of course, right after that, we went to the Ohio retreat. Ellen and I, we drove to the Ohio retreat. And, of course, people had heard about it, but they hadn't, you know, experienced anything yet because it was just, I mean, it wasn't even out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was just Almeen's handwritten material of the first two levels. And so, of course, some people started asking about it. And so Almeen was like, well, who was at the Toronto retreat? So there's just like me and Ellen. And so I'm like, okay, sweetie, can you do it in the break on everybody? And I was like, whoa, you know, and I'm like, I hadn't even done Belvis Batal yet. I was just initiated. So, and then I said, well, I don't have it. I didn't like bring, because we haven't got a copy, right, after the Toronto retreat. So I didn't bring it with me. And Jen says, well, I have it. Of course she does. And so I was like, okay. I mean, I had no, not that I didn't have a clue, but I was like, okay. I mean, and everybody? I mean, there's 40-something people in the class. So I said, okay, well, we're just gonna have to trust and intuitively do what, you know, comes naturally, whatever. And so we just sort of, I decided to, because Ellen was, I'll just stay beside you. You can do it. So I was like, okay, so let's get some groups together. So I started, well, let's kind of do it in a group. At that point, you know, I didn't really know. Like from now, I have done it now where like I do it live on video, so it's out there, or I have just done it with groups over there. But there I wasn't sure. So I made about 5 or 6 different groups of people, and I just went to each one and just did, you know, sort of like a block of sigils. You know, for everybody. And I don't think I have ever got so expanded in my life. And I get expanded very quickly when I do Bhavaspata or any of these material tools. I was so expanded that I actually couldn't feel my physical body. And I went to go walk down the stairs because I was up on the stage, you know, there. And I went to walk and I couldn't feel my feet. So one of the women that was sitting down on the floor, and she said, "Oh, your angel wings are so huge." And I go, "Oh, well, hopefully they'll be able to stairs because I cannot feel my feet." And I was literally floating for the rest of, you know, the week, but everybody loved it. Of course, it was their first time experiencing it. And I don't know, I'm sure it changed me on so many levels. And of course, from that experience, both experiences, being present when it came in and then experiencing that afterwards, I have a great affinity, you know, like I feel Kanish very, very deeply. And besides of, you know, what it does, you know, for the cosmos, and it's for all of life, and it acts as a proxy. So so I'm in agreement with you. It's my it's my favorite, and we just did it actually. I just did it on the weekend because I just initiated my friend here to the Grand Master, and so I said, okay, well, you haven't really done Kanish very much at all, actually. I said, let's do Kanish, you know, because I, as well as, you know, giving Balaspata, I love receiving it. So that's always an opportunity of what I do when I initiate people, for them to have more practice doing it. So I was like, all right. So I'm
open to receive. That's a good idea. See?
Absolutely.
I really, you know, I do it for people all the time, but not so much for my, you know. I'm not usually on the receiving end.
Well, you can do it for yourself, right? We can do it for ourselves. Yeah. But yeah, to also experience that alchemy, because that Balaspata is no chemical modality, is, you know, to have that other, the other practitioner there with you, doing it for you, and then that whole experience, and every single, you know, person in that sense, is you're going to have a different experience. And that's why I love doing that with people that I initiate. You know, it's
great. Yeah,
a great opportunity for many things.
Yeah, and then they get to practice it, so. Wonderful. That's a great idea. Christy, and I know you practice the yoga, that you teach the yoga, and the Sabha root. Do you have a favorite yoga?
You know, for the longest time, I would have to say this, let's say the yoga of abundance. I did. Not just because of what it is, but I think the postures, the moves, the tapping, you know, sort of where you have the three different types of methods of what you're doing in the yoga. I liked that. My body liked it, and that's probably more so why I did. But I have to tell you that I also very much love Srihat. For some reason, especially when Trish and I used to do it, because we used to do the yogas a lot when I was in California, and that's why we started it, because it helped her a lot with her lupus. And at that time, and so we would do them, but we would always have these interesting experiences with the yogas, all of them. At that time, Ananashubha hadn't come out. I know it came out not too long after that, so I've done that about four or five times, and that's really great. But Saradisi, I actually love the Saradisi. It seems like it's a simple thing, but it's so amazing. I have had very interesting experiences within my body, you know, just how things have gone into alignment, how I can feel my cells almost like bursting, you know, like in just or rejuvenating or resurrecting. I mean, just the Saradisi is pretty amazing. So how do you pick just one favorite of any of these things?
You know, that's exactly it. It's hard. It really is hard to pick a favorite. I know, they're all my favorite too. And I'm sure you've had some amazing experiences during the Sabbath week.
Yeah, you know, and I'm still in the early stages of it, even though I made a video, and I made a video because of sort of initiated by a dream that I had with Almeen, where I just, she was talking about the body, And I woke up and I realized that, you know, and I knew that at some point I was going to do it. Everything has its timing, right? So,
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it and you're like, oh, I want to do this. I'm going to do this. And, you know, but I don't get caught up in that. So I was just thought, okay, well, it'll happen. I did do it one time in Toronto. It was shown to us by Anita. And I thought, this is interesting. Of course, there's so much more to it than just the movements, right? With the oils, with the angels and the perceptions and all of that, the quantum fields. And I mean, it's a whole ceremonial ceremony, you know? So that's, and that's amazing. But what I found when I did this, and I actually just did it last night, and to be honest with you, I didn't feel my body for about 30 seconds. I wasn't quite sure. I almost felt like, and I don't know if this makes sense, but I almost felt like I fell into the abyss for a minute. And it was on the last, have you done this, Abahut? On the last move? Yeah. And so on the last move, when you're going to come up and you're going to be breathing in the white ball behind the navel and do the breathing at the end, you know, the five contracting. And I just thought almost I went into the abyss for a second, you know, so I didn't know if I was going to pass out or if I was like, but I just thought, no, I'm not. Of course not. Right. And I could feel, it's hard to explain. A lot of these experiences are hard to explain, but it was very, felt like particles, you know, I could feel my being that way. But anyways, what I've experienced more with the Sabahut is the awakening in the different parts of my chakras, especially my second chakra and then my third eye. So I've had some interesting experiences of starting to see more.
Oh, that's interesting.
Here, you know, it's a slow process, but it's a happening process, you know? Like, so it's very interesting, you know. I don't rush anything. I'm always just intrigued and awaiting like a little girl waiting to see what's magically going to happen next kind of thing.
That's funny, Christina, because of like a little while ago, I don't know, I have no idea what timeline, but the angels had said to me, because you were saying you had the dream with Almina about the body, she was talking about the body, and the message I got from the angels was, if you do the Sabahut like every day for 2 or 3 months, the weight is going to fall off you, is what they told me. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that. You know, meanwhile, I think I did it twice. And as you say, you get caught up doing, you know, life happens and I forgot. But now I'm hearing you talking about you had the dream with Almin, and she was talking about the body. So, well, maybe I should revisit that.
I don't think it's going to take 2 or 3 months, Denise. Personally,
no.
Nothing to the angels, but I said this because I did do a video, a private video, to teach the Sabahut and you know, practice it. But and that is one of the things she talks about, especially when you're doing the contracting behind the navel, and that's where we hold a lot of our density and hold a lot of stuff, and you can, you know, you'll lose weight. Well, I have to tell you in that. Well, it was 2 days. I made videos. But over that 2 days for myself personally, because that's always been an area for me, it was moving. It was clearing. And I don't just mean on a physical level. It was clearing out. So
yeah.
I could see that if you even did that, you know, every day, even for a week, you would every day, and I mean, it's people say, oh, that's not a lot. It actually is. Try to do it for every day for a week.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But,
okay. And you will feel it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I mean, I have to say, I agree. Every time I do it, I feel profound changes in my physical body. But as you're right, it's not just physically, it's on many levels that feels clear.
And yeah, can I add something to that just to share very quickly is because, and yes, sabahut is a physical movement, you know, tool, but I've two people that I know of who haven't been able to, are not able at this time to do it physically, but just by watching it, they have expressed to me how powerful, how profound, how they can feel it just by watching it. Because of course we know we're not just this physical body, right? But it's always wonderful to hear that and to hear their experiences, you know, when they know that they can't participate in the way, you know, that it is in the physical sense. So to hear that, I have had two people who are not able to do it tell me this, and I thought that's wonderful. That just tells you about the profound magical abilities of these tools.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Christina, I want to get your take on all the changes that are happening cosmically right now. Because I know you've had some wonderful insights and experiences that I know that you've shared some on Facebook. That is, did you get any more insights on the magnolia? Because you know what was so funny, and I wanted to make it a bit. Because I know there's something with magnolia, because before you had posted that, there is it's a rock song. Eric Clapton has released his new album and it's dedicated to J.J. Cale, who, you know, I think he's dead now, but he was, you know, famous guitar player. And he had written a song and it was called Magnolia. And I was obsessed with playing this song. I don't know why. I just had to listen to it over and over and over. And, you know, it's so simple. Like, it's short, but just everything in it was, you know, I wanted to move and just, you know, be like this gorgeous tree. But so I'm like, oh, that's really weird. Why am I, like, obsessed with this song? And... you know, and then, you know, okay, maybe I need to wear the magnolia oil, I was thinking, so I started connecting with that. And then I go on Facebook, and you started this whole discussion on magnolia, and I'm like, okay, there's something here. And,
well,
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you know, magnolia was my first fragrance, yes, from the Fragrance Alchemy, so, and, wasn't my first choice per se if I was looking at them, but intuitively I felt that. And then if you know what that one is for self-nurturing, mothering self, or maybe for mothering others too much, and I was like, okay, that's all me, you know. So, and definitely I could see, and Amin spoke about that being one of her first, and she has recommended this afterwards for me as well. And so I do have it, and I went through periods of using it, but very quickly is I just heard in the night, I was semi-conscious. I heard 33 magnolia. I didn't know, you know, what that meant. Was that initiation? What? But then I looked up what 33 was, and then I actually heard after that when I woke up was to do with the spine. So I looked at the spine and, you know, the 33rd vertebrae and da da da. And I said, okay, I guess it has to do, you know, awakening different aspects on the spine. So magnolia must be able to assist with that. And, you know, I went for 3 days placing that on my body, on the top of my head, which, because we use that in the sabahut, it's on the top of the head, the crown. And then on the top of the spine, what's that called there? Oh, the atlas, by the atlas, and then the coccyx bone. So I said, I'm going to do that for 3 days. I'm still doing it because intuitively I just feel to keep doing it. And it's funny because I'll look up somewhere that I need to go, which is not regularly. I'm just saying once in a while I have to go somewhere, especially in the States or somewhere here, and for some reason, always a street right near it that's called Magnolia. Even just yesterday, I was looking because I'm going to be going somewhere into Los Angeles, and so this place, you know, and it's a huge city, and we're going to go, and here's the street Magnolia. And I said, Magnolia has been speaking to me for a long time. You know, if you follow that conversation on Facebook, a lot of people shared a lot of great insights and you know, their perspective on that and da-da-da, little, you know, great tidbits. And I think Magnolia, one thing that came to me when I was sort of researching it myself, it talks about Magnolia, the fragrance or the flower, sorry, the flower of Magnolia was there before time began. So I was like, that's very interesting. Because if you think about that, or not think about it, you know, like for me right away when I read that, I was like, oh, it was there before time began. Now somebody would say, well, they think life, there was no life before time began, right? We know differently. So on a grander perspective, I found that it was for us, I think it really just assists us to remember our divinity and who we are, and to live this way much more on a daily basis. And maybe Magnolia is the fragrance at the moment that will help us to remember that it will trigger that memory. It may change later on, but it feels like it's the scent and the meaning for right now. It feels like that. As well, it's about nurturing self, you know, and this is another avenue, this is another pathway to remembering who you are. So I don't have any greater insight. I just feel intuitively to still use it. I put it on just before I started talking to you. And there's, on some level, it might be very, very subtle, where it will probably activate whatever needs to be activated at this time cosmically, because I think that's where it's also speaking very much on a cosmic level.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's very interesting, and I also applied before we came together. So that's funny, but I mean, I'm sure you have this experience too, where the fragrance alchemy oils, you know, they talk to you, or, you know, experience them as those being, you know, have you had that?
I use them, they're like sitting right in front of me on my table in front of the Book of Spells. So that's my decoration on my table. So every day, I will just intuitively pick up. Sometimes I don't even look at what it is until I pick it up, but I'm still intuitive. And I'll pick up something, and it's that smell of the day that I guess my being just wants to smell. And whatever else it accesses and whatever else it does, and that's it, you know. And whenever I leave the house, and it's interesting here because and it's the year of El Nino, so there's a lot of wind. And so I know that the fragrance carries, right? You know, I've been on the bus, and I've, you know, people just kind of like looking and not really smelling you, but, you know, they can smell something. We've had other people where we've passed in the car and we're stopped and the windows are open and they're sniffing their nose, and they're just like, you know, they can smell it. So it carries. And I feel that's another part of why I wear it when I go out. Just to connect for other people, because I don't know what it's doing, but, you know, it could be activating someone else or opening up their senses, you know, as you know about the sense of smell, so, and which helps to trigger memory, cellular memory. So I think they're profound, they're beautiful. People always have a positive reaction to them, in the most part. Some of them might not be ready for some smell. I don't know, but I said, well, that's because there's something there that you're resisting, and so that's probably the one that you should have right now. But and at some point later, I've seen them change and go, oh wow, this is amazing. I said, well, you didn't like it before, and now you love it. So you see, something has happened there. within yourself. And so they're a beautiful thing. I mean, they're amazing. I love the fragrances. And to complement them with all of these profound tools is just an added gem.
It is, and it's so much fun to incorporate them with all these other wonderful tools that only make them up. Have you worked much with the runes?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Have you worked with the runes?
No, I don't have the rune book yet. I mean, I've with some of them, you know, that I've seen in which is it? I'm sorry, the deck of cards.
Labyrinth of the Moon.
Yes, but the deck. Yes, but what are the cards? Oh, I have a blank at the moment. Yes, thank you. that, but you know, I have to say it's interesting because when I first started to see runes that Amin had drawn, you know, a while back, and to me they were very familiar because many years ago, before I even started with Amin, I used to draw all of these. You know, I didn't know back then what they were. I just thought they were symbols, you know, and things like that. I didn't know. I was writing, all of these languages, all of these symbols, runes. I wrote so many of them because I look at them now and at some of them and I go, but I know all this. I've written all this. So, of course, other levels, yes, I have worked with them. But right now, not. I'm waiting. I am going to get my book of runes, I've been told, for my birthday. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited. Right now I'm working with the Book of Spells. But
gonna ask you. So how do you find the Book of Spells? What's been your experience working with that?
Well, I hadn't done a lot. I know when I've had it in my house because you know that's the sacred object that it is. So I have it in my house and it's there. And so I honor it, and no one's allowed to touch it or do anything, and it's right there. And so every once in a while, I'll pick up something, and whatever I open it to, usually there's something there, or it's going to be a page or two away, and I'll look at that. But what I'm actually doing right now is sessions where I am sharing, invoking the incantations and the spells. So I've made two recordings already, and that has been pretty interesting. And I do them at night, you know, so where there's less sort of interference all around. I get very expanded. The cats just have to be there. So I guess they want to be part of the magic. Or maybe the fairies are around and maybe they're chasing them. I don't really know, but there seems to be a little bit more activity than I want. But it's amazing. Like it's very magical, of course. In particular, I am doing two spells myself, or incantations, over a long period of time. Just ones that I've felt that I wanted to, not say needed, but just felt to do for myself. And so I'm in that process of still doing them. One of them I've already done for a month, but it's a 90-day spell, and another one is for 30 days, which I'm halfway through. And in that particular one, which I think is the one for second sight, if you have the book, to retain or remember second sight. And that one is actually doing some interesting things because every night when I go to bed, I have these very, lucid. How do you say? I don't know. It's lucid, but I'm not sleeping. It's not a dream. It's not whatever. I get images, very physical images. I had someone handing me, I was laying there, and I had someone hand me a book. And then, I could see all this much more than I've seen before. And then I had someone else who looked kind of like Amin's hand in front of my face, and they had this beautiful opal diamond ring on their finger. I don't know why they were putting it right in front of my eyes. Then I saw all these illuminated sigils sort of in, you know, like a musical cord. Oh, I just realized that. Like a musical cord of sigils, very illuminated, kind of orangey white illumination. I just thought, wow, is this just from doing that spell? You know, because the the site has been dormant in the spine, and so this spell is to awaken that. And apparently, you know, after 30 days, it will help to release all the blockages. So I'm finding that one to be very, very, very profound. And I have not forgotten a day to do any of them.
That's
so far.
Amazing. Is that one from the Lords of Light?
Yes. And the reason, yes, thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
The reason,
you know,
yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, go.
Okay. Well, very quickly, was because I had another dream with Elmine about a month ago, and she was talking to me. I don't remember what she was saying right now, but because my attention went up into near the ceiling, I guess in the dream, there was a sigil. I mean, and there was a sigil, like, ooh, I'm a sigil, and it was quite big and illuminated, and I just kept, you know, Elmine's talking to me, and da-da-da-da-da, and I kept going to the sigil, and I was like, what? And I kept hearing, remember this sigil. So the next day, I don't think it was the same day, but the next day, I opened the book, and I opened it to the Lords of Light, and I opened it to where the sigil was. And so I went, oh, okay, that's who it was, you know. And so I started to investigate that more and look more into it and see, you know, what that was about for me. And that's, I think, what initiated me to do these videos that I'm doing now for the magical incantations and spells, sharing that with people. And the sigil that I'll tell you, I don't remember his name. I say his because they're a masculine frequency, but it is the one of the teacher. And I said, aha, okay. So that kind of keeps popping up in front of me. And so I guess for me, I just see that I share this work at the moment. That's what I got from that. But the Lords of Light have always been speaking to me, even when I first started with Elmine back then. She used to share and talk about the Lords of Light and the Halls of Lamente. You know, so that always had a deep connection with that. I don't understand it all. And even she says it's not a kingdom that's completely understood yet at this time.
Right.
So, but it's magical.
It is, for sure. I was just going to say, when I first got the book of spells, and I, you know, going through each page and, you know, just loving it, and I had to touch, right? I'm sure many people have had it, but, you know, just had to touch every page and the sigils, and I'm just, you know, soaking it all in. And when I got to the page with the Lords of Light, I immediately heard this, as I was running my hand over the page, the Lords of Light return my sight. That's what I heard. I know, and I was like, and then it was just after Christmas, we had the fire on, the gas fire, and when I looked in the gas fire, there were these, the flames had changed, and I could see these little beings, well, they weren't shadow, but I could see these beings, and I'm like, oh, what's that? And I heard the Lords of Light. I'm like, okay, this is something here. So I too have a strong affiliation with working with them. They've been very amazing and helpful. But honestly, Christine, I have found, just recently, like, I almost feel like I don't have to breathe, or I find myself not breathing, like I have no breath, and then observe it. And
it's weird, isn't it?
It's really weird. But I have found, like, my inner vision is, like, sometimes blurry, and I can't, it's almost like I'm, like, walking between veils or something. It's like I can't.
Yes.
I haven't really had the clarity visually that they used to have.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
So it's good to hear,
yeah,
you know, to be working with that incantation for spirit is good.
Try it. Yeah.
I will. I'm going to know. Thank you. I really am going to start. I'll let you know how it goes. You're right. The book of spells is so powerful and amazing. Just even having your environment. Even if you're not going to do anything with it, just having it there is incredible.
Well, I think it's a time also where I was thinking about this not long before we started talking. I was actually preparing my next video, and I'm sort of making a little video about where, just in picture form, you know, looking at the mystical, magical, hidden realms, kingdoms, and that you know, they're sharing their magic with us, but the magic is us, you know, and I just think that something that we have, many people, and you know, a lot of us remember this, but there's many of us who just don't remember it, or we just say, yeah, okay, fine, you know. But how well do we remember this, and do we even tune into it, you know, tune into the magic of ourselves? And I mean, that's a wise thing that we talk about, but so I think that these are just, you know, little gems to activate that, because the magic is us. It's all within us.
Well said. Well said. Thank you, my love, for that. We are just about at the end of our show. I could talk to you for another hour if we had it. So, Christina, if there are listeners who are maybe not on Facebook but would love to, you know, get involved, you know, check out your website or some of the courses that you're offering or the videos, how can they do that?
Well, they can definitely go to the website, which is casabelvaspata.weebly.com. Right now, that's what I have, a Weebly website. So it's casabelvaspata.weebly.com. But if you are on Facebook, you can just look me up, Christina Trevino, and well, there's probably some other ones there, but you'll probably find, just based on the pictures or, you know, how it comes up, my profile looks like. And that's the best way to get a hold of me. Or you can always go to my YouTube channel, which is Lightworker63, and that's where I've got quite a few videos, as you mentioned earlier, of Bellaspata that Trish and I initiated in the beginning, and then I carried on doing sessions for everyone. So there's quite a few on there, and you can, however you contact me, I will, I'm easily reachable on the internet, because that's basically where I am all day. Whether it's doing sessions or whatever else, connecting, networking.
Wonderful. Well, many blessings to you, Christina, and all the work that you're doing. We're very, very grateful. And thank you for sharing your beautiful presence and insights and luminosity on our show tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And you also.
We're still doing this. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm so delighted that there's so many out there doing the radio shows, you know, and that's wonderful. So thank you very much for doing that, for your beauty and presence and luminosity.
Thank you. And thank you to all our listeners who make it all possible. So we will be back next week. Malu will be here, so we'll have another wonderful show. Thank you, everyone. Praise, love, gratitude, and trust. Good night.
Good night.